Going Linux, episode 481, Linux and Open Source, Back to Basics.
Get your tech on, it's time to roll. Plug your cords in and take control. Say goodbye to the old routine. Linux is here, it's the future machine. No viruses.
Welcome to the Going Linux podcast. I'm your host, Larry Bushy.
And I'm your co-host, Bill.
Whether you are new to Linux, upgrading from Windows to Linux, or just thinking about moving to Linux, this podcast will provide you with valuable information and advice that will help you in going Linux.
We hope that you find this and all our episodes helpful in learning about Linux and open source applications and using them to get things done.
If you want to send us feedback, our email address is goinglinux@gmail.com. And our voicemail line is 1-904-468-7889.
In today's episode, Linux and open source, back to basics, of course.
Yes, and I see we're going to be trying something a little bit new in this episode. Thanks for all the feedback we've gotten. So for you listening, let us know what you think. Is this the direction you want us to go in?
So you're going to notice that the structure of this episode has shifted slightly. So, Larry, we had our latest listener input, and we're experimenting with a fresh format. As always, let us know your thoughts on these changes. And, Larry, I'm still running CashiOS.
Yeah, that's good. And I'm still running Linux Mint Cinnamon. Not that it's really going to change until the LTS comes out. So we'll see.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to start this episode with some open source news. First of all, get my news voice going here. Desktop market share surge. First up in the news, desktop Linux adoption is hitting notable milestones. According to StatCounter's latest metrics, Linux global desktop share is sitting around 7.5%, with North American web metrics even topping 10%. While analytics can fluctuate due to bot traffic or web scraping changes, the overall momentum is undeniable. More people are looking for alternatives as commercial operating systems double down on background telemetry.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of Steam Decks. And so people are playing this with the Steam Decks and going, this works great. I want to put it on my computer.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And the installation process to install Linux is not all that different from installing Steam. So that should be a relatively easy shift for people wanting to do that. And 7.5% of the market is Linux desktop. It's not that long ago, it was under 5%.
And I know.
Celebrating when it reached 5%. And now it's 7.5%. And here in North America, 10%. Yeah, real increases. That's pretty good.
With it even topping 10%, that's great. So,
yeah.
I remember when we think back maybe five years, there's a couple times we were like, we're at 1.5%. Look at us, we're moving up. And now we're,
yeah.
So that's awesome.
Jumped right up. More computers sold with Linux, more people interested in Linux, and more opportunities to try out Linux, like Steam Deck and things like that is pretty easy to do, that's for sure. So yeah, good to see that.
Yeah, and it's nice because, you know, the install for Linux Mint or like Zorin OS or anything like that, which we'll be talking about later, they're, I think, even simpler than installing Windows on a computer.
Oh yes, yeah, much simpler. And the fact that you've got a boatload of applications already pre-installed with the operating system is another advantage over Windows for sure.
Yeah. So our next news story is kind of I've actually remember using it's called LightDM, and they just released their 1.33 release. So if you remember, Ubuntu kind of stepped back from it, or Canonical. So this is what happens when a project that people like or need, the community steps up. So here's the example of open source longevity, LightDM, the lightweight display manager used across distros like Linux Mint, XFCE, and has just released a 1.33, and that was after Canonical stepped away from actively maintaining it. The independent community developers took the reins, updated it to modern Qt6 frameworks, and released performance fixes. It's proof that good open source projects don't die when corporate backing shifts. They just get adopted by the community.
Yeah, and we should probably say that for these news articles, we will have links to them in our show notes so that if you're interested in getting more details about each, you can dig into them and do your own background research if you like.
Yeah, but it's good to see that, you know, it just kind of show you kind of different mindset. Mindset in open source, because a big company decides they don't want to actually maintain it, people step up and maintain things and make it better. So,
yeah, and with commercial companies like Google or Microsoft or even Apple, when they kill something, it's dead. There is no community to pick it up and keep it going forward. Yeah. So, yeah, one of the advantages of open source.
Okay.
All right. Our next story is Core Utils Progress, with utils spelled U-U-T-I-L-S. I almost said W. Now the story. Under the hood, efforts to modernize Linux terminal security are making huge strides. The Utils Core Utility Project, led upstream by Sylvester Ledru alongside a global contributor base, is rewriting the classical terminal tools like ls, mkdir, or make directory, and cat in the memory-safe Rust language. Their version 0.10 update just passed over 93% of GNU's official test suite. Canonical has already been auditing and integrating it into Ubuntu and Microsoft packages builds for Windows command line users.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. I've heard a bunch about utilities being rewritten for Rust. So it's good to see that it's coming to fruition.
Most of the reason they're doing a lot of this, Larry, is that Rust is a memory-safe language. It's harder to, you know, to exploit. And and it's also more memory efficient. So the reason there's Microsoft package builds for Windows command line is, think about it. They have the Linux, what is it?
The Windows subsystem for, yes, Linux is what they call it. Yes.
Oh, okay. No, we're not Windows experts.
Yep. There you go.
But yeah, so they decided, well, you know, we're going to add that in, so make people that use Linux under Windows has the same type of tools, and it's good to see. So again, MK directory is make directory. LS is list, is like a list, isn't list structure what it really means, but it,
yeah, yeah.
And then cat is, I can't remember what cat does.
So cat lists on the screen the contents of a file.
Oh, okay. Okay, so I've added a new section, and it's called the Open Culture Spotlight. So, you know, while we've been talking about open source software, it's worth remembering that open culture extends beyond code. If, and so here's something that you might like. If you want a new independent, you want new independent music or royalty-free tracks for your projects, check out Jamendo. Jamendo hosts thousands of independent artists who publish their music under Creative Commons licenses. For casual listeners, you can just stream it and download full albums for free legally. For creators, it gives you attribution rights and a direct revenue sharing model when licensed tracks for commercial use. So it's a great way to support independent artists and the open source culture that we all love and wanted to see thrive.
Yeah, and for those of you not reading the show notes right now, you spell Jamendo, J-A-M-E-N-D-O, Jamendo. And that is a great way to listen to free and open source music.
I've downloaded a couple albums from there of mm-hmm. artists that I've had listened to before, and they're really, really good. I mean, if you're just looking for music to throw on your MP3 player or your playlist at home or whatever, how you listen to your music, or if you, you know, for your car, whatever. Some of these are really, really good. I listen to a lot of lo-fi, and they really have some great mixes, but they also have some pretty good like dance music and stuff that it's kind of, you know, fast paced for people in nightclubs dancing. Yeah, upbeat. They have a lot of stuff. They have rap and stuff. So, I mean, you should just give them a listen. I mean, they're not going to be the latest and, you know, greatest and famously known, but a lot of them are really, really good. There's some ones that are not that good, but a lot of them that are on this, you could tell they really like doing what they do. So.
Absolutely. And it's a great way to begin to listen to music from somebody you've never heard before. And if you really like it, you know, make it popular.
Yeah.
Share it. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay.
All right. Well, let's get into some starter-friendly Linux distros, selecting your first destination in the Linux ecosystem. For a seamless transition, Linux Mint remains the gold standard. Its Cinnamon environment provides a familiar layout with a traditional menu and panel that ensures you feel at home immediately. It arrives with necessary media support pre-installed and manages updates reliably, allowing you to handle your workload without ever needing to touch the command line. And that's a succinct paragraph or two. And it also has a lot of software built in, like an office suite and a way to play any music that you have and an application for your camera and those kinds of things. If you've used Linux at all, any flavor of Linux, you're used to having a full suite of software and, of course, a place to get more if you need something specific or you'd like just to play around. Another thing I'd like to say about Linux Mint is Cinnamon is probably the most popular desktop environment for Linux Mint, mainly because it's the first one I think that shows up and it's touted as the simplest and easiest to use, but they also have the Mate desktop. They also have, you know, some other things that you can use as desktops, and you can try them out for sure.
So a couple other things that's really nice about Linux Mint. Larry forgot to mention the that it actually has a streaming TV player. I think it's called Hypo something. I can't remember what it's called exactly. It starts with an H.
Hypnotics.
Hypnotics, that's what it is. And it works really well. And that comes pre-installed. But you can actually stream music from different countries. It works. And what's really nice about Linux Mint, two things that always impress me about the distro is, one, is that they don't do any radical changes of the interface. The the interface has been streamlined. It might round a button, but if you run Linux Mint 3 years ago and you come back to Linux Mint, let's say I was coming back to Linux Mint, what I've actually been thinking about, but coming back, I would know where everything is, and it's because they just keep refining the desktop. And their software center is probably second to none as far as ease of use of finding things that you want. They have a really great selection, and also Linux Mint does not use snap packs. They use flat packs, which are seemingly easier on your system performance than a snap package would. If you're new, you don't need to worry about any of that. But for some of the older listeners, they'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I agree. Their whole idea is to keep it simple for a user, and I think they've done that on all accounts.
Yeah, on back end, front end, everything. So our next one is one I've actually used, Larry, and it's Zorin OS. Zorin OS has a free tier and a paid tier. You can download the free tier and run it and never have to worry about it. You do use a few features like being able to change the format. It has this cool where you can change your to look like a Mac or look like an old Windows 98 machine or stuff like that. You lose some of that stuff, but as everything else you can download and install, it's just that's how they keep their development funded. So the Zorin OS truly shines when it comes to visual elegance and user-friendly setup. One of its standout features is the layout switcher, which I just mentioned, which allows you to transform your desktop environment instantly. Additionally, it has a software assistant that identifies Windows EXE files and points you toward open source versions of programs instead. For those seeking a sophisticated appearance paired with a straightforward migration path, Zorin is an excellent choice.
That feature of pointing people to an alternative to a Windows program is probably one of those things that I wish every Linux distribution would do. I think it would really help adoption and expand the use of open source software instead of having new users try to find a way to run the Microsoft software that they've been used to running on their previous operating system, that being Windows. What do you think?
Actually, I think that it actually does work well. And I wish all of them did it. Yeah, to be totally honest with you, it's a really cool feature. It's just another one of those kind of gentle on ramps to using open source. If you are a person that needs, we're just going to throw an MP3 player. This and you've used Winamp or whatever you've been using or whatever was built into your system, it's nice that Zorin can say, hey, we have this, it operates dislike this, give this a whirl. So it just kind of guides them to findings, so they're not just trying to guess what where to find stuff. So, and they also have a really nice software center too. So when I've run Zorn, I never had to touch the command line, but that is that's probably one of the nicest features. I wish more of them would do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's just one feature that makes Zorin easy for new users to adopt.
Even on their free version, the interface is familiar. You don't have to guess. They didn't move away to something that you're not have any idea where to find stuff. It's a couple minutes and you'll feel right at home. It's I would say it's on par with Linux Mint, and but that's just it's real friendly to start using those two.
Yes, absolutely. It's really good. I've tried it out and I like it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So let's move on to Tuxedo OS. This is one I haven't tried, but the write-up says, if you are seeking the reliability of Ubuntu infrastructure, but prefer a system free from proprietary bloat, Tuxedo OS is a compelling option. Originally developed by the German hardware specialists at Tuxedo, this distribution is available at no cost for any hardware. It features a meticulously optimized KDE Plasma environment and notably removes snap packages, prioritizing flatpaks and traditional Debian or .deb binaries while delivering the latest kernels and drivers for peak performance. And just to review, the binaries refer to programs or applications. So yes, it's talking about the Deb packages themselves. I've looked at Tuxedo hardware. It's very impressive. Since it's built in Germany, they will ship anywhere in the world pretty much. But it does get a bit expensive with the shipping and some of the other stuff that goes along with that. So I haven't made the leap to look at Tuxedo. If they were a little less expensive, I might have tried one when I was looking for a new computer, but didn't work out. But the operating system, Tuxedo OS, you can use on any computer. I haven't done that yet, but it sounds intriguing.
Well, you don't have to.
Okay.
We usually do a lot of desktop environments. A lot of them are based on the GNOME, and we don't see a lot of good KDE. Well, there are some good attempts, but Tuxedo takes it to the next level. It's absolutely beautiful. If you're coming from a Microsoft operating system or even an Apple operating system, you're going to know how to use it right out of the box. It's polished. It has some cool utilities built in that allow you to do some power and cooling adjustments if your hardware supports it. It's sort of like the German version of Pop OS, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And since it's in Germany, they have to operate under all those privacy requirements, so they don't have any type of telemetry. They're not fans of the snap packages. They like flatpaks and the traditional Debs for performance, but it's absolutely they've taken and really made it look beautiful, and I wanted to throw a good user-friendly KDE distribution in if someone wants something that looks a little bit more, they want something besides a GNOME desktop or they just prefer KDE. I think this one hits all the marks of being reliable, privacy facing forward, and it runs like a as my father used to say, a scalded dog. So that's a Southernism for everybody. But it really does run well, and it runs better because it's optimized, and I think they've taken the time to really make sure all the drivers. Now, there's another thing: drivers that install with it are they're pretty much it sees it installs the correct NVIDIA drivers or the AMD drivers or whatever. So it's really well done, and it's probably one of the best examples of a KDE desktop that really looks beautiful.
That's great. Yeah.
So, our next one is, I always feel I should be yelling this, and when I introduce it, but it's PopOS. So, now here's the flip side of the German one. So, for those seeking a desktop environment engineered for contemporary workflows, PopOS is something you might want to try, and it's by System76. It provides a specialized installation media that features integrated NVIDIA drivers, ensuring a friction-free hardware configuration with its native auto-tiling functionality. It streamlines the workspace and the organization, and it has fluid navigation. It has become a preferred choice for creative professionals and power users alike. So, Larry, have you tried PopOS?
Yes, I've installed it in a virtual machine, and I've tried it out, and it's not for me. It is very different in the way that the workflow works.
Yes, it is.
I'm sure that I could get used to it pretty quickly. I really don't have a lot of desire to try to learn PopOS, and by learn, what I mean is it's intuitive. But I use a lot of keyboard shortcuts, and I am used to those that appear in GNOME and Cinnamon and some of the other desktop environments. And PopOS has their own way of doing things, and it makes a lot of sense, but my muscle memory just doesn't let me find it as friction-free as they'd like to advertise it as. But other than my hands trying to make my way around new keyboard shortcuts, I think it's a really, really good desktop environment, especially for somebody trying out Linux the first time. It's unique, that's for sure.
It is.
What do you think?
It is unique. It's not for me either. Okay, but that being said, I have run it, and what I like about it is they have the different media. They have one that has the NVIDIA drivers already built in. And they have one. They used to have one that was just it didn't have the NVIDIA, and it had it for AMD or whatever. But they're an NVIDIA shop. Now, one of the standouts about PopOS is the user interface is all built in Rust. So they really doubled down and really tried to make it as stable and memory safe as possible. But the auto tiling and the way it does work doesn't work well with my brain, because as you know, my brain's kind of weird anyway. But as a general purpose distribution, or someone looking for something a little different, PopOS might fit the bill. If you're looking for a Windows ish looking distribution, you might not want to try this one as your very first one, but it's something to keep in mind.
Yeah, on the other hand, if you want something that's completely different from Windows because you're so disgusted with it, this would be a great way of doing that. Yeah, and I don't want to say that it's difficult to change the keyboard shortcuts. It's very easy to do that on any Linux distribution. So I could switch them to be exactly what I wanted if I wanted to, but there would be a lot to change. And even with Linux Mint Cinnamon, there are a few that I change, but it's like less than the fingers on one hand, the number that I actually change. So it's easier for me. But, you know, I've been around Linux a while and I've built up some habits and I don't want to change those habits. I'm like,
yeah, we're getting old. We don't want to change our habits.
There we go. But yeah, Pop! OS, great distribution of Linux for sure. And they've done a great job. Our next is, and our last is Nobara Linux. This is rounding out our selection for the gaming community. Nobara Linux was developed by Glorious Eggroll, a famous or infamous developer. He also created Proton GE, and Nobara builds upon the reliable Fedora foundation with specific enhancements for gaming performance. It comes out of the box with graphic drivers, Wine dependencies, and specialized kernel patches alongside Steam and Lutris, allowing you to dive into your library immediately and skip the technical configuration. And for those unfamiliar, Wine does not refer to a beverage here. It is an acronym that stands for Windows. Wine is not an emulator, and it's a way of running Windows programs, some Windows programs, under Linux. That's basically what it is, and I wanted to provide that explanation of what Wine means in this case.
So, I run Nobara. It's probably one of my favorites out there. If you're a gamer, and you know, Larry, I'm going to throw a gaming in here some way. I'm going to figure and Nobara is my choice. There's some great gaming-focused distributions, but Nobara, I take it to the next level as far as performance and ease of use. It's great that it has Steam built in. So everybody's like, well, what's Proton? Well, Proton is a, we're just going to say it's a helper that allows you to play Windows-based games. Steam uses Proton. Well, since open source, people can look at the code and make improvements. That's what Glorious Eggroll did. He's actually a developer in Fedora, and he does this for fun. And he did it, and someone asked him why he's doing it. And he said, because his father wanted to play some games, and he needed to. So he made it for his father and just said, well, you know, we like playing games, so I'm going to let everybody use it. And by the way, I can make some changes to Proton to make it even run better. And I've used Proton GE, and I've even supported his project in the past. And he really does work very hard. And there's some stuff that Proton GE will let you run just flawlessly. So with everything moving forward with the developments in Proton, it's getting where you can run AAA games on Linux, and it wasn't that long ago that it would be almost impossible to run some of this stuff. But because of Vulkan and plus of Proton, Vulkan is a emulation layer for those programs too. It helps with the drivers and stuff. So, not getting into much detail, but Nobara takes all that, throws it in a package, and it's a great project. And I think I will just let that be the end of that, because, you know, I'm a fanboy, as you can't tell.
Yeah, absolutely. So, we've had a segment for new users to Linux and how to get into the adoption of Linux. And we've had a segment specifically for gamers. So what's next, Bill?
Well, you forgot we had an open source culture for about free music, too.
Yes. Oh, that's true. That's right. So I did forget.
We wanted to have something for everybody. So as you can see, one of the greatest advantages of the Linux ecosystem is the ability to go see for yourself. You can flash any of these distributions onto a flash drive and give them a try without ever touching your hardware until you're absolutely positive that you want to make permanent changes. You'll find all the links to everything we've talked about, from the news highlights to Jamando, and about the distributions, all in the show notes. If you're interested, you can go to the sites, look and read for yourself, and we hope that you find one of these might, as I like to say, tickle your fancy and give it a whirl. We encourage you.
Yes. Okay, and we do have one more segment, though. It's something that we're calling, for now, Command Line Shenanigans. So it's time for Command Line Shenanigans, where we spotlight the utilities that streamline your terminal experience and make the command line actually enjoyable to use. So this segment is for the more advanced user who wants to try out some commands on the command line and see what that does. So in this segment, we're going to address a universal hurdle for Linux enthusiasts: navigating the man pages. Man pages are manuals in text format that are fantastic for granular documentation. In other words, lots of detail. But when you only need a quick reminder on how to decompress a tar.gz archive or verify your storage capacity, wading through endless pages of configuration flags can be overwhelming. Did we say this was going to be for the more advanced user? Yes, that's where TLDR comes in. The name stands for too long, didn't read, and provides exactly that. Rather than providing exhaustive technical manuals, TLDR offers community-curated cheat sheets that focus on practical real-world examples. Executing a query like TLDR space tar or TLDR space FFmpeg skips the jargon and presents the half dozen most frequent use cases for that utility. You get the precise syntax you need, ready to be utilized immediately. If you are on an Ubuntu system like Linux Mint, setting up is quite simple. Just open your favorite terminal emulator and execute sudo apt update sudo apt install TLDR. You can also do it through the graphical software manager if you wish. With the installation complete, you can look up any utility by simply running TLDR followed by the command name, like TLDR tar. This is one of those efficient little tools that quickly becomes indispensable in your daily workflow.
Yeah, I've tried reading man pages, and it's like, I just want to know how this works. If you're a new user, like we all are at one point, or even an old user, like I am now, I forget how to use it sometimes. And so when I saw this, it's like, I loved it. It said, too long, didn't read. I'm like, yep, that's for me. And so it actually is very handy, and I don't have it installed right now on this machine, but I have in the past, and someone had told me about it, and I had to go. I couldn't remember what it was, so I finally found it again. I said, I want to share it with our users, because new users can use it to kind of see how commands are structured, and older users who, you know, we like to call them, the gray beards or the gray hairs or just someone trying to figure out how to do something, but they've forgotten because they got so much knowledge. Well, TLDR can give them a quick refresher. So it's kind of a handy little tool that you didn't know you needed.
Yes, and I just noticed in the Linux Mint software manager, not only can you install TLDR, the command line utility, but there's a graphical utility called Brief that gives you a browsable list of what TLDR presents, and it's a flat pack.
That's nice.
Yes, exactly. So you can browse through and discover new command line utilities, in addition to understanding the ones that you may want to use.
That's excellent. I didn't know they had that.
Yep, there you go.
All right.
Okay. Well, and I think that's it for our experimental episode here. We've taken, as we said, some of the feedback that we've gotten and tried to put things in a format that kind of emulates some of the things that people have suggested. So we are very interested in your feedback. And in our next episode, we hope to have some more of that feedback to share. And until then, you can go to our website at goinglinux.com for articles and show notes, as well as links to download and subscribe. We provide the website for computer users who just want to use Linux to get things done.
And if you'd like, you can participate directly with our friendly and helpful community members by joining the discussion in our Going Linux podcast community on community.goinglinux.com.
Until next time, thanks for listening.
73.